2309, February 3rd, 1809, that is, Hamburg, Germany. It's exactly 200 years ago today that a genius was born. Today marks the bicentennial of a very special individual with whom we have something very special in common. By way of introduction of this individual of whom I speak, I'd like to use this box that's designed to house a set of CDs, a collection which is called Celebrating the Musical Heritage of the Lutheran Church. On the cover is Martin Luther. Next to him, Johann Sebastian Bach. On this side, we have Heinrich Schütz, Hugo Dissler, whose setting of Freud Nun Euch, the tour choir is currently tackling. And then there's this guy, number 5. What's he doing on there? The answer is found in Romans chapter 11, Paul speaking. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life? But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. The instrumental man in the history of Lutheran church music who is pictured as part of this collage is a Jew. His name is Felix Mendelssohn, and his birth is being honored and celebrated by musicians around the world this year. There's no way for us to know with certainty what his faith life was like. Only God knows what was going on in his heart throughout his life and at the time of his death, but I plan to speak this morning from the standpoint of the assumption that the commonly held biography of Felix Mendelssohn is accurate. A biography which includes a Christian baptism, a Christian confession, and identification with the Lutheran Church. Not that the Mendelssohn family had always been known for its Christian perspective. I understand that Felix's grandfather, Moses, was quite strongly adamant against Christianity. But I also understand that his father, Abraham, apparently experienced the gracious inner working of the Holy Spirit and was brought to saving faith in Christ, recognizing him as his Savior, and thereby serving, along with his son Felix, as a fine example of the principle set forth by Paul in Romans. In various sections of this epistle, Paul presents the Lord's relationship with the people of Israel. And in doing so, he acknowledges the sad reality that the majority of Jewish people have rejected the salvation that is found in the righteousness of Christ. Brethren, Paul writes, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Blinded by the misconception that our relationship with God is based on our attempts to fulfill the law, countless descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have shunned Christ and forfeited the life that he brings. In our text, however, Paul shows also the bright side of that Jewish coin and reveals that the Lord nevertheless foreordained people from Israel to come to a knowledge of the truth. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. At this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. People such as Felix Mendelssohn received double blessing. They were Jews by race and Christians by grace. Earlier in Romans, Paul asks, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Christian Jews, such as Felix Mendelssohn, are ancestrally the inheritors of those great promises delivered in the Old Testament times, and the recipients of the Holy Spirit, who has awakened them to recognize in Jesus the one who has perfectly fulfilled all of those promises. Earlier it was stated that we have something in common with Mendelssohn. I was not referring to the German heritage that many of us share, or this heritage of Christian Lutheran song. That which we share and have in common with him, which is greatest of all, is the experience of God's grace. Even so then, says Paul, at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. The people of God around the world comprise a relatively small number. We're a remnant. But we are a remnant that has been richly, richly blessed. For the Holy Spirit has revealed to us the futility of trying on our own to reconcile ourselves to God by our works, and has shown us the wonder of how God brought about already such reconciliation through His Son, Jesus. Christians of all cultures know that when it comes to our standing before God, works by the law and the grace of God are simply incompatible. And when the Spirit enables people to grasp the fact that Jesus has already graciously done for us all that is required, all that we couldn't do on our own, then peace and joy settle in. A peace and joy which express themselves. This Christian Jew of the Lutheran Church used his astounding gifts to glorify God, the God who saved him. Among his greatly admired orchestral works is a symphony called the Reformation Symphony, because it makes use of the Reformation tune, A Mighty Fortress. And among his great choral works are two oratorios, Elijah and Paul, massive undertakings which essentially present in musical form the biblical accounts of that Old Testament prophet and New Testament apostle. And I wonder if perhaps Mendelssohn's selection of the story of Paul to set to music was his hopeful attempt to awaken some of his fellow Jews to their need for Christ. For he includes in it also the vehement, sad rejection of the Jews to the message that Paul brought. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Paul wrote, "for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The music that was playing as you entered this morning was an excerpt from his oratorio, Paul, the text of which is, "O Jesu Christe varis licht, erleuchte die dich kennen nicht, und bringe sie zu deiner Herz, dass ihre Seele auch selig wird. Erleuchte die da sind verblendt, bring her die sich von uns getrennt, versammle die zerstreut gehen, mach feste die in Zweifel stehen." Let's join in singing an English translation of those stanzas. Hymn 512, stanzas 1 and 5, to which we will also add stanza 6. Hymn 512, stanzas 1, 5, and 6.